Hello, this is Dan Young with KNYO, the NYO Radio Project, and Common Ground Relief Media here on location in New Orleans. I'm here today talking with Angie Green, the executive director of the Green Project. And Angie, can you tell us about the Green Project, about its mission, its history, and current projects?
We started about 13 years ago as a paint recycling center. Back then, there was no other place in the city of New Orleans to recycle your latex paint, so a couple neighbors got together, and they brought their paint to someone's garage, and it just grew and grew and grew. So here we are, 14 years later. We have 23,000 square feet of architectural salvage, art supplies, and paint, and we serve the entire community, trying to keep our prices low so that everyone can afford to shop here.
What have been some of the greatest obstacles you faced in creating this project?
Well, we are a nonprofit, so like every other nonprofit, our biggest obstacles are time, people, and money. And the hurricane really didn't help or hurt us in any way. We were a pretty big organization before the storm, but now we're just the right business in the right place at the right time. So people who are rebuilding are donating their materials to us and getting a great tax deduction for it. And then people who are repairing their own home come here, buy low-priced materials, but materials that have been in someone else's house or a historic item, and they're putting that in their own home in the rebuilding. So we're kind of the middleman between people who are tearing down and people who are starting over.
So I guess what would you say would have been the biggest victories or successes or most inspiring aspects for you of this organization and being involved in such a wonderful reuse recycling project?
It's nice every day to see people who have some emotional satisfaction knowing that even though they are tearing their house down, the parts of the house that they feel connected to get to live on, maybe not in their own property, but in someone else's. So it's really nice to see someone who has an emotional connection to, like, a fireplace mantle, and they know that it's going to live on in someone else's house. And then we have all sorts of random strange things that come in here every day. Like, we have a very gaudy marble fireplace right now that stands about 8 feet tall. Those strange things come in all of the time. So finding, like, the right item for the right buyer, they're so grateful that they have just that thing that they were looking for, and they can get it at a great price. So it's nice to see that end of it, too.
This is Ian Mays. I'm interviewing along with Dan Young here. So I was wondering if you could describe, like, the state of recycling and waste management here in New Orleans.
Since the storm, the city of New Orleans has not had any curbside recycling, and they have no intentions of really bringing that back in a big way. And there's a huge demand in the community for recycling. So since the storm, the Green Project is primarily an environmental organization, and since we have the mission of recycling all the building supplies and computers and e-waste and art supplies and the paint and all the other things we do, we decided we would take on that responsibility of household recycling. So we are able to accept papers, newspapers, cardboard, aluminum cans, and metal cans for recycling. But right now in the city, there's absolutely no place to recycle plastics or glass. And I really don't know that there will be in the near future.
So, building on that, how would you evaluate the current ecological sustainability of the city of New Orleans? And what, besides what you just mentioned, what do you see as other major problems?
I think the number one problem has been, and probably will be into the future, is the coastal erosion. One of the reasons that the storm had such a great effect on our levees, other than the levees were not properly built, but the storm reached so far inland because we didn't have that coastal protection that should be there with the swamps and the marshes south of here. I think people's intentions in New Orleans right now are much better from an environmental standpoint than they were, say, 2 or 3 years ago. People are much more aware of their impact, their own impact to the environment. And a lot of the rebuilding here, they have very good intentions, but it is a drop in the bucket compared to what really needs to be done. New Orleans has never had a really good environmental record, and we're starting now to make those small changes to make it a little better.
I was wondering if you can elaborate on what some of those small changes you just mentioned are.
Before the storm, the Green Project had the largest solar array in southeast Louisiana, and we only had 18 solar panels. So that's not really very much. Today, there is a huge solar effort to put solar panels on schools and on homes that are being rebuilt. And many of the homes that are being rebuilt with sustainable materials and in a sustainable manner, so that if there was a flood again, you don't tear the building down, you just clean it out and you're able to continue living in the property. A lot of soybean insulation is being used, a lot of on-demand solar water heaters I've seen put in the last 2 years. Small things like that that individuals can do make a big impact collectively, and they really show their neighbors all of the things that are possible.
So I noticed in a lot of different parts of town there's destroyed houses, and in some places like just big piles of trash that once was a house or the innards of a house. I was wondering what generally is happening with all this trash and debris?
That's a very good question. It was being collected by FEMA and the EPA and put into a C&D landfill, which is a construction and demolition waste landfill. The problem with C&D landfills is they don't need to have that leachate liner that household waste landfills need. So they're less protected, and so the items that go into there can leak into the water supply. Which is usually never a problem with C&D material because it's just lumber, metals, things like that that go into a landfill like that. Since the storm here, the environmental regulations for C&D landfills were relaxed a little, and now we are allowed to put asbestos-containing material into a C&D landfill along with flooded and mold material. So all of those things are potentially hazardous and are going into a C&D landfill, which may or may not be protected in the way that a household hazardous waste landfill is.
So most of the piles of stuff you see around are still going to the C&D landfills, or?
The majority of them are going to actual C&D landfills. There has been about 23 sightings of illegal dumping in the last year in New Orleans East. So I know some of the material is being dumped into coastal parish, like the coastal regions, usually generally in the swamp where no one can see you. But most of the material really is going to a C&D landfill.
Yeah, you mentioned that there's a big solar power initiative going on in the city. And I noticed that there's another organization as well called Make It Right Foundation that is hoping to have a lot of solar-powered houses and what have you. I was wondering, like, where did this all come from, this solar initiative?
I actually have no idea. I think since New Orleans has this great opportunity to rebuild basically some parts of town from the ground up, people are looking at the most sustainable way to do it. And being off the grid or less reliant on energy sources from an unsustainable source really is appealing to people. And I think in every way people are trying to be green, not just in solar.
I have only been in town a month and I haven't noticed much of this. Is there much initiative around rebuilding the city to be less car dependent and oil dependent?
In some ways, I think New Orleans has always been a very walkable city. Within the city or the parish limits, the city limits, I think there are two big box retailers and that's it. We don't have any of the larger suburban type stores. And you can really find a little local grocery, plenty of, neighborhood stores within walking distance of wherever you're living in town. It's always been very walkable in that way. We don't have the public transportation system that we used to have before the storm. That has been severely, reduced, mostly based on demand, but also based on there just aren't really the there really isn't I can't think of the word, but we don't have as many people don't use it as much, but there also isn't a lot of grassroots effort to use it. There isn't a demand for it, and the way that recycling really has kind of swelled up from the same thing has not happened with the public transportation. A lot of people here are very car dependent, but I think in New Orleans we have the highest, or one of the highest, pedestrian and bicycle use in the city, and I know many, many people who don't even own a car who are able to live quite well here.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I was wondering, with the Hurricane Katrina and the floods, you know, causing so much more debris and also, like, need for materials, I was wondering, how did that affect the work that you do with the Green Project?
I don't want to say that we've benefited from it, but our sales are about three times what they were today. They are three times today what they were 2 years ago. And we were seeing about three times as many customers and about three times as many donations, which is great because that means we're preventing all of that material from going into the landfill, and we're able to resell that material for a very low cost to other people.
Are there any other local groups working on ecological sustainability issues that you'd like to recognize, give a shout out to?
I'd hate to start recognizing some because I know I'm always going to forget the others. But the people we partner with strongly in the past have been Mercy Corps, who have been great on promoting deconstruction in town, which is an alternative to demolition. So you take a building down by hand and save all of that material. And that goes very well with the work we do. The Alliance for Affordable Energy has some great solar initiatives, and they're really strongly working on the public transportation issue, along with the New Orleans Clean Fuels Initiative, which is working on biodiesel and other less oil-reliant technologies for transportation. There's a huge effort going on in Holy Cross and in the Lower Ninth Ward right now, and I know probably a half dozen organizations that are great that are working there as well.
So I'm curious, how did you personally come to get involved in this field of environmentalism and ecological reuse? What kind of personal formative life experiences did you have, or what led you in this direction?
I actually came here on a roundabout way. My background and interest has always been in historic preservation, so I was more interested in the architectural side and not the environmental side. And through my work in college and grad school, I became really interested in working for nonprofits. There's something in a nonprofit environment that's incredibly creative and desperate, and you never have 2 days that are the same, and it's very exciting if you're really into that. And I love it. I love the people I meet and the people I get to work with. And so when I was working in town about 4 years ago, I got first familiar with the Green Project. I shopped here all of the time in repairing my own house. And then right after the storm, I got recruited to come work here, and I've been very happy ever since.
All right. So the general theme of all these interviews is about different projects and that are going on now, and how people think they can build a more socially just and environmentally sustainable New Orleans after Katrina and Rita. And I guess just any thoughts you had on, in general, that you've already mentioned a lot, but on how that might happen or what that might take?
That's a huge question. New Orleans has been very lucky in that we've had some amazing people coming after the storm. They've come to New Orleans to help us rebuild, and I think they're taking a bit of New Orleans with them when they leave. Just having that huge influx of really intelligent, really driven people to come to town and help us, and then to take our message back to the rest of the country, I think really is going to be key in helping us look at things with new eyes and then spread the word even further.
All right. So I guess this is going to be a very short interview. My final question was just, how can people, whether they're in New Orleans or elsewhere, who are inspired or by your work, support the Green Project? What kind of donations, different kinds of donations, do you take? Do you take volunteer work or anything like that?
The best place to look at that is our website, which is thegreenproject.org. We always love volunteers, especially long-term volunteers who can really kind of dig in, people who like to get dirty and really get involved with the rebuilding. Of course, we always would love financial donations as well, and you can donate through the website. And if you live in town and you are doing some rebuilding and you have reusable architectural materials or paint or art supplies and you want some place to donate them to, make sure they do not go in the trash. Please bring them to the Green Project, and we will take them off your hands.
All right. Thank you so much, Angie, and thank you, Ian, and thank you to the listeners.